Well, we had a rockin' time last weekend. We had a fire tunnel. How many know what a fire tunnel is? Okay, maybe we'll have one this morning. But Brother Larry was here, and he had couples come up. You know, men and women couples come up. As they came up, God was just blasting them. I mean, they were just getting saturated with the oil. And God is doing a healing in relationships. And He's strengthening up relationships. God calls you together, you know, as a team. So don't give up on your spouse. Keep praying, keep believing. Amen. Stand in there. God is able to change any heart. But it was awesome. And then as we brought different couples that were called up, we just formed like a little two lines here. And then everybody came and they walked through. And as they walked through, everybody began to pour into them and pray for them. So how many had a good time that night? Huh? How many got refreshed in the Holy Spirit? Amen. You know, when you get refreshed in the Holy Spirit, yeah, still are, right? You want to love everybody. That's a sign when you're being touched by God. It produces love for people. Amen. And if we don't love, then we don't have God's love. But if He's in us, His love is in us, then we have love. Because God is love. There are only two kinds of businesses that start from the top. How many know what they are? Grave digging and well digging. Everything else, you start from the bottom and you work your way up. Sometimes we get impatient in the process and we try to make happen what God will make happen. Jesus Himself did not come as a reigning king, but He came as a seed that was invisible even to the naked eye and was planted in the womb of a virgin who had never known a man. So that blood would be, amen, pure blood. It would be the blood of God. And that blood would atone for our sins. But God became a man. That's the mystery, you know, the incarnation, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Christ came to this earth. But He came as a babe in a manger. You know, very humble beginnings. How many know those mangers are not like the cute little things you see, right, on Christmas displays? Those are nasty things, man. I mean, the animals are just letting it go everywhere, you know. And so, but it was a place. There was no room in the inn, you know. But Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came to reign, folks. He came to reign on the earth. He came the first time as a suffering servant. Because there was two prophecies. One that spoke of the suffering servant. And the other as the reigning king. And that's why many could not understand that Jesus was the Messiah. Because they were expecting that He was coming to establish His throne in Jerusalem. Put down Roman rule. And they would be liberated. And instead, their Messiah had been crucified. One day they were hollering out, what? Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. The King has come. He's come. The Messiah is here. And the next day they're hollering, crucify Him. How quickly a crowd will shift. But He came to a lowly manger, the lowliest of all, as we sing this song. And yet Jesus had to grow just like you and I do. He grew up in the natural as a young boy. And He had to learn some things before He was going to take His seat at the right hand of the Father. When you look at Jesus, you look at our example in every way. If the message you hear does not look like Jesus, it's wrong. Are you hearing me? If the message you hear does not line up with the teachings, the writings of the apostles, it's wrong. God gave us His Word to protect us. And there are different Jesuses being presented today. But our Jesus didn't come the first time as a reigning king, but as a suffering servant. And He experienced all the difficulties of life that you and I experience. He tasted that. And He tasted death for all of us. He was our perfect high priest because he can empathize with us. He can understand what we deal with in life. So you're not without help. Amen. You're not without hope. Jesus loves you. And the Bible says in Luke 2 and verse 52 that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. In Hebrews 5:8 it says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Huh. The things which he suffered. Well, I don't like that kind of gospel. Jesus learned obedience experimentally as a son. He was always subject to his father's will. Jesus was totally obedient to the Father in everything he did. Jesus didn't sin. So don't misunderstand that scripture when it says he learned obedience. What that meant was that he was completely in submission to his Father the entire time he was on the earth. And he learned through obedience, not through disobedience. We learn both ways, don't we? We learn from obedience and we learn through disobedience. I tend to like to learn through obedience. How about you? Yeah. So Isaiah also had prophesied that Jesus was going to what? He was going to reign on the earth as king. He would be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Isaiah 9:6 it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Sounds like Jesus was deity to me, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound to you like he was God in the flesh? It says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, even the wise men, they were wise because they understood who he was. They knew that this babe was destined to be king. In Matthew 2:2, it says, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Many Jewish people today are still waiting for their Messiah to rescue them. And their eyes haven't been opened up to the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. And Paul said that there's a veil over their eyes at this time until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And then God will again turn to his ancient people. He will remove the veil from their eyes and they will begin to see clearly and know that Jesus is the true Messiah. And I believe it's beginning to happen already, folks. We need to pay attention to what's happening over there right now. Are you hearing me? These pressures, these difficulties, these things are causing people to cry out for answers. And God help us. God help us. And there is an awakening among the Jewish, the Hebrew people, that they are coming to know that Jesus is the Messiah, that he indeed was the promised Lamb, amen, of God, who would take away the sins of the world, that he was the one who was going to be their king and their deliverer. And again, the Jewish people had two messiahs in their minds. They thought there was the one who was the reigning king and the one who was the suffering servant. And yet they were speaking of the same Messiah. Amen. Scripture speaks of one, and his name is Jesus Christ. And so the wise men knew that he was born to reign. Now, God has ordained that you and I will also reign with Jesus. He was born to reign, and we were born again to reign with him under his headship. So God is preparing a people. He's preparing people who will reign with him. Are you hearing me? That's why we're called kings and priests in the Bible, amen? The church is to be a nation of kings and priests. That was the original purpose of Israel, amen? Of the Jews. To represent Jehovah God on the earth. to be a kingdom of priests unto God. And so you and I, when we come to faith in Messiah or in Jesus, we are born of His Spirit and we also become grafted in to that same vine, Jesus, amen? And we receive the same benefits that God promised to Abraham. And what's happened is many of the Jews are looking at the people of God and they're seeing the demonstration of the kingdom. They're seeing the reality of the kingdom and they're becoming jealous that we are receiving the blessings of Abraham. Are you hearing me? And here they are left out in the cold. And God has a way of getting people's attention. And most of the time, God gets our attention through difficulties. I know we all love difficulties, but they're good for us. We're reminded that we need Him. Romans 11:25, Paul said, I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So this blindness is only temporary, folks. You see, there are those who believe in what's called replacement theology, that God has replaced Israel with the church. No, what He's done is He's joined the church with Israel. Amen. And the true Israel is the spiritual Israel, those who are born in Messiah, born of God. So there's no longer Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male nor female, but all are one in Christ Jesus. We have been grafted in. Hallelujah. Contrary to the natural, we've been grafted in. Thank God. And we stand by faith. And when we trust in the Lord Jesus, the authority and power that was lost through Adam's transgression is restored to us. What Adam lost, Jesus paid for. Are you hearing me? He bought us back. He brought us back. What we had lost, Jesus secured for us. He was the second Adam or the last Adam. So where Adam failed, Jesus overcame. And He overcame for us. And that's why He says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Do you know God could take you out of all tribulation? God could prevent us from having any difficulties in life. Amen? But there is a purpose in difficulty. There's a purpose in tribulation. There's a purification that comes through these things that we encounter. And we have to understand the heart and the mind of God and what the Word of God says about suffering. Because what we try to do is get out of any kind of difficulties. We want the quick fix. We want the easy out. We don't want to go through any process. We want to get from A to B without the in-between. Are you hearing me? I want my promotion. I want my crown, but I don't want the cross to get there. Come on. And sometimes we're interfering with God's will in someone else's life when we're constantly throwing out the safety net for them. We need to ask God, Lord, do I interfere? Do I even try to help this person? Because sometimes God's saying, leave them alone. I want to do a work in them. Even Paul said in some cases, turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that their spirit may be saved. Sometimes, folks, people are so stubborn that the only thing that's going to work for them is come on out, feet first. God has a plan. God has a purpose in everything that you're experiencing in your life. If you belong to Jesus today, it's not beyond His notice. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly what you're dealing with right now. God is actually working something out in your life if we will learn how to lean on Him, learn how to trust in Him, learn to hear His voice. You see, we're not usually too attentive to His voice until something happens that causes us to pay attention and say, God, I need a word. He's trying to talk to us, do you see? But so often, we're just so busy about our own agenda that He can't talk to us. Has anybody ever been there besides me? Where is Jesus right now? Yeah. Actually, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, right? Who's that? The Holy Spirit. Jesus is where? At the right hand of the Father. As our what? Our intercessor, our great high priest. So God highly exalted Jesus and gave Him the name that is above every name. Jesus humbled Himself, became a servant of servants. He didn't come to reign. He came to give. He came to love. He came to serve. And they're thinking, what kind of king would serve? Aren't kings supposed to be served? We see there's a process. If you want to reign with Christ, you're going to need to learn how to serve. Amen? You're going to need to learn how to love. You're going to need to learn how to get control of your temper. And God will turn up the heat and reveal to us where we stand and how great our strength really is. Are you hearing me today? So that we become aware that I'm weak and I need His strength. I don't know what to do, so I need to hear His voice. God brought Israel into the wilderness for what reason? So that they would learn not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. That they would learn to hear His voice. Because His voice is life to us. Have you discovered that? Amen. When you hear the word that God is saying to you, even if it's a correction, it's still life to you. Are you hearing me? Even when God rebukes us, it's always with love. It's always with life. A rebuke is good for us at times. Are you hearing me? Some of us need to learn to rebuke our children. Come on. Bible says, and I want to read this to you if you would, just follow with me. In Hebrews 2:6, it says, "What is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels." That's us. "You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. And you have put all things in subjection under his feet." What is he talking about? He's talking about Adam. He's talking about the purpose for which we were originally created. He gave us dominion, did he not? Over all his creation. We were his crowning beauty, his glory. We were the crown of it all. He put us in charge. Ambassadors representing the kingdom government of heaven on the earth. And he gave us authority to reign. With authority and with power. And Adam was given the responsibility even to name. Amen. All the animals. And all things were under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is put under him, that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. How many have discovered that already? How many know there's still a lot of work to be done? Our world is still a mess. Amen? Does that mean like we just have the que sera, sera thing and we say, well, whatever will be, will be? No. No. You are ambassadors. We are ambassadors. We are to effect change. We are to call His kingdom in. That's why we pray, "Thy kingdom come." We need to pray as a priesthood that His kingdom would come and His will would be done on earth. Amen. That the harvest would come in. That the Gentiles would be saved. The non-Jewish peoples will come to Messiah. Because there's coming a time when the door is going to close and God's going to turn to His ancient people. The veil will be removed and they will all know Him. And right now we have been given the grace of the Lord to be saved. Today is the day of salvation. And there are those who have the attitude even of the people that were in Noah's day. Oh, one of these days, or I don't believe all that judgment stuff. Besides, it's never rained before. Who is this nut building this big boat? Who is this nut standing behind that pulpit talking about the coming of Jesus? Everything just continues the way it does. Every day is the same thing, you know. God showed me when I was a new Christian, He showed me something in a dream that it's going to be just an average day. People eating, drinking, carrying on, just an average day, and they knew not. except the people of God are not in darkness, are we? We're not to be caught up in the things of this world. We are living for heaven. We're living for eternity. We're under submission to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're here to do His business. Amen? We're here to divorce ourselves from death and walk in life. Because His feet are part of His body and we are the body of Christ, therefore God intends that we should reign under the headship of Jesus. Do you see that God hath highly exalted Jesus as our great intercessor, our great high priest, and put all things under His feet? Sit thou at my right hand, the Father says, until I make your enemies your footstool. His feet are part of the body, and that means that you and I are to reign with Christ under His headship once again. And so what is happening is God is preparing His people to reign. He's preparing us to reign. And a leader has to be conditioned for that position, amen, or they're not a good leader. If you give somebody a position too soon, you have a monster. Amen? Or if their character is not prepared for that position, you have a monster. Jesus humbled Himself and even became obedient to death. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. And now where is He? He sat down at the right hand of the power on high. He's coming, folks. And what He's doing, He's working in you and He's working in me. And He's conditioning us and getting us ready to reign with Him. However, we need to understand something, folks, and this is what people don't want to hear often, but that there is a process. There is a process for reigning, amen, for being equipped and prepared to reign. As I say often here, we are in the boot camp of eternity. Yeah. In Revelation 2:26, Jesus said, "He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end." Everybody say, "Until the end." "To him I will give power over the nations." Sounds to me like we're going to be reigning with Jesus, huh? "Those who overcome." So Jesus wasn't born on the throne. He was born in a manger. And so there's a process. It begins with humility. It begins with servanthood. It begins with submission to the Lordship of Christ. God wants us as well to learn obedience through the trials of life. And I'm going to say this because we don't like to hear this either, but God is more concerned about our character than our comfort. You know, God has to often keep us uncomfortable so that He can work on our character. Amen. If our life is too comfortable, we sometimes neglect our spiritual life. And we are responsible to keep ourselves. Did you know it was the priest's responsibility, right? To keep the oil supplied to the candle. And it's our responsibility to keep ourselves, amen, filled with the Holy Spirit, attentive to the word of the Lord as He's speaking to us, to obey and do all of His good pleasure. Do you know why David was a man after God's own heart, right? Because he was one who was willing to do all that God asked him to do. He wasn't a perfect man, but he had a heart that was set on the Lord. He had a heart that was after God's own heart. And that was valuable. And God really treasured David because he did love God. And he did do what God showed him to do. For the most part, before we can reign with Jesus, we must be prepared to do so. And that process of maturing is called discipleship. You know, one of the things that I struggle with as a pastor is that in this age, especially, of getting any kind of commitment, where people are going to commit themselves to discipleship even. We can get people sometimes to come down to the altar, but where's the follow-up? Where is the discipleship? When I got saved, people got saved, they got into church, they got into discipleship, they got trained, they got taught, they got brought up, amen? And today it's like people say, come to the altar and where are they? And you can't even call and get a hold of them. And there's something wrong, something is missing, folks. The devil is stealing from people, he's robbing from them. There are so many things that God wants to download and put into you that will not only protect you, but will build you up and prepare you for His ultimate goal of you and I reigning with Him in eternity. If we overcome and if we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him. But it's so difficult today to get people to sit down long enough so that you can pour the Word into them and reinforce it and build them up and give them a foundation for life. And folks, you need to understand the importance of discipleship. We need to understand the importance of getting the Word of God in us. Because if you do not allow God to teach you and train you, you can miss your purpose. You can miss your destiny. If you will not submit yourself to the Spirit of God, you can miss your destiny. I say that out of love today. We need to understand that God is not going to force anyone. He says, come to me. He says, let me disciple you. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Walk with me. I want to prepare you. I want to equip you. I want to raise you up, and I want to share my kingdom with you. I want you to reign with me someday. But He's not going to force Himself on us. He says, you must submit yourself. You must come to me. We can't eat unless we come to Him. We can't live unless we're coming to Him. Amen? And what processes God gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. He gave the fivefold for what? For discipleship, for discipling the saints, for building them up, for perfecting them. For what reason? For the work of the ministry. God's intention is that you would reign with Him where? On the earth. And you don't have to wait for the sweet by and by. God wants you to learn how to reign with Him now. God wants you to be victorious now. God wants us to overcome now, and we can because He has made Himself available, and He says, come into my holy place. Come into my throne of grace, and everything you need is there. I will give you all that you need and then some. Your cup will overflow. You will be a well-watered garden. You will bear fruit. Even into your old age, you will bear much fruit. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's not too late. See, God doesn't take a newborn and put him into authority. Sometimes we want to get right into that. You know, we want to be in the miracles and signs and wonders and chasing after this and that. And you know, those are all wonderful things, and they're gifts and graces of God. But what God really wants is a person He can trust. He wants the character of that person to be developed. Jesus grew, amen. John the Baptist grew in wisdom and in stature, and he became a mighty man, mighty in spirit. His spirit was in agreement with the Holy Spirit. And so there's a process, and it doesn't begin from the top, it begins from the bottom, but there has to be a submission to God's authority and to His way. We need to understand the importance of preparing yourself. We only have so much time. The days are quickly going past us, folks. We only have so much time left. So every day we need to make the most of the opportunities God gives us for growth, for practice, for operating in obedience every day. God is training us to reign with Him. Now, spiritually, in Christ, we are seated with Him. Where? In heavenly places. Amen. I want you to hear this because this is really the point I really want to press today. Hopefully that you'll hear it and receive it. Even though we are spiritually seated in heavenly places, in the natural, there is a process we undergo that prepares us for kingdom reigning. In other words, there are people who think that I'm too spiritual to be responsible. I'm too spiritual to have to pay my bills. I'm too spiritual to get a work, to go to work and get a job. I'll just trust the Lord, are you hearing me, to provide for me. And what happens is people separate the natural from the spiritual. What God wants to do is spiritualize the natural. This mortal shall put on immortality. This corruptible will put on what? Incorruption. First, it was not the spiritual, but the natural. First, it was the Adam, right? The man from the earth. After that was the life-giving spirit, Christ. God wants to spiritualize the natural. And so if we don't learn how to operate correctly in the natural, God will not entrust us with the greater riches of the kingdom. Are you hearing me today? If we're not being responsible with that which is least, we can't expect God to bless us with that which is eternal. Because we haven't proven ourselves to be faithful. If you're faithful in little, I will make you ruler of much. Sometimes we have these visions of, yeah, that would be awesome to rule over the nations. You know? But how about ruling yourself first? See, what God is trying to do is He's trying to teach us, amen, to rule ourselves first. God's not going to entrust to us the greater riches if we don't get our flesh under control. I just couldn't help myself. Yes, you can. You need, like Paul said, to beat your body daily and say, submit! Amen? You're not going to tell me what to do. My lusts are not going to tell me what to do. You're under the authority of the Holy Spirit in me. Amen? It's got to be that way. We've got to make the decision that we're going to learn to rule ourselves first. See, people, sometimes they're all so caught up about the devil this, the devil that. Oh, I see spirits. I'm seeing demons are coming out of the wall and out of the doorknobs. And we're going to this spiritual battle stuff. You know, they get caught up in all this stuff. What about just taking control of your flesh? If you deal with your flesh, the devil can't touch you. Amen? Quit going back into that sin. If you go back into that sin, you don't have to. But if you do, if you decide to, well, there are repercussions for that. You're given legal access for the enemy to torment you. Oh, how about forgiveness? How about forgiving other people? How many know it takes God's grace to do that? I can't do it in my strength, neither can you. But we can, by the grace of our Lord, to forgive and to love people. We've got to get a grip. We've got to first get this body under submission. We need the fruit of the Spirit, self-control, self-discipline. We need to learn how to push that plate aside. Are you hearing me? You didn't need that extra piece of pie. Sometimes God's saying, well, we're coming to God. God, I'm all sick. I'm all messed up. Would you heal me? But we're eating and eating and we're not taking care of ourselves. Forgive me if I hurt anybody today. I've been guilty of that myself. God's trying to teach us to first get a hold of ourselves, rule ourselves first. When we get to the place where we're self-disciplined and we're ruling ourselves, amen, when we get up and we pray, we don't sleep until noon, amen, up at the crack of noon, still in our pajamas, turning on the television set. When we get our lives disciplined, under submission to God's purpose and will, we got to reign over us first. And when God sees that you've got your house in order, not only this house, but your house, guys, amen? Men? That we have our house in order. That's why we're not allowed even to put someone into ministry, into the pulpit, amen, pastoral ministry, until they first have their children under subjection, amen? Their house is in order. And sometimes we ignore those things. Oh, it's not that important. It's important if God said it. Amen? Why? Because God wants disciplined people. There's areas in my life where I need more discipline. How about you? But God is training us. God is teaching us. God is conditioning us because He wants us to reign with Him. That's an awesome thing. I mean, that's awesome. I'm like, wow, with Jesus. He said, you'll rule the nations with me if you overcome. What are we overcoming? We're overcoming ourselves. Amen? You overcome yourself, the world can't touch you. The devil can't touch you. That's what John said. He says, you know, a man that keeps himself, the evil one can't touch him. Hallelujah. People are having all kinds of demonic problems because they're indulging in sin. That's opening doors to the demonic. Or if all you want to talk about is the demonic, they'll show up. Hell, the devil's beating up on me again. Why? Hear it. Hear it. He's not allowed to do that unless you've given him permission. He needs to know that you know who you are in Christ. And you know what? When James said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you, that means that you stand your ground, you deal with him until he realizes that you ain't going anywhere and you ain't giving in and you've not given into that temptation. He says, boys, we're wasting our time. Let's go over here to Brother Joe. Because he's a compromiser. And as soon as, you know, we say, oh no, I'm not going to yield to that temptation. And say, well, maybe a little, yeah, for old time's sake. The devil says, come on, boys, right over here, right over here. Bring in the big guns now. We just got an opening. Come on. Isn't that true? If we will rule ourselves, then we can reign with him. Proverbs 16:32 says, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. You know, sometimes you got to turn that stinking boob tube off, right? Even the game. God might be telling you, I want you to go and be in fellowship with your brothers and sisters, or I want you to take a meal over to somebody. I want you to call somebody and pray with them. Oh, the game, I can't right now. I'm in the middle of the game. Are you hearing me? We have a lot of freedom in Christ, but when Papa speaks, it's time to listen. What I'm trying to say, folks, is often, please hear this, the spiritual work will not happen until we're producing fruit in the natural areas of our lives. Have you ever heard this before? Have you ever thought about it this way? Spiritual work is not going to be accomplished in you until you start dealing rightly in the natural areas of your life. God wants to spiritualize the natural. Huh. You know, you ever run into anybody that's so super spiritual? You heard it said they're no good in the natural? Well, there's a truth to that. But it also is equally true that you can't be good in the natural until you're spiritually minded. And if you're truly spiritual minded, there'll be maturity. And maturity says I have to be responsible. For my family, for my conduct, for my integrity. Amen. I need to be a man of my word. If I tell you I'm going to be there, I'm going to be there. And if I can't make it, I'm going to give you a call. Sorry, I can't make it. That's integrity. Amen. Integrity means that you're going to be on time for work because you're representing someone higher than your boss. And God sees, ah, good job. More grace. More favor. When we're faithful and that which is least, he'll make us ruler of much. So is the natural. We need to be in, you know, responsible in the natural realm. God's looking. He's watching. How about the way we treat our boss even? Is it important to God? Absolutely. How about how you treat your spouse or your fellow man? Is that important to God? Of course, yeah. What do you do when no one is watching? 1 Corinthians 15:45 says, it is written, the first man became a living being, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. Oh, The spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of the dust, so are also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. Jesus said it this way in Luke 16:11. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in an unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If we can't be responsible with our finances, if we don't have control over our spending, if we're not being faithful to give as God tells us to give, then how do we expect God to trust us with the greater eternal riches of the kingdom? Huh? Are you hearing it? In verse 12, Jesus said, if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is yours? Huh. Do you see the connection between our responsibility in the natural and how we conduct ourselves and how we live our lives in the natural and even being responsible for somebody else's? I know we don't like to pay taxes. I hope I'm not stepping on toes, but if I am, oh well. But we need to pay taxes. We need to give what is God, amen, give to God what is God's, and to Caesar what is Caesar's. Okay. God sees that. He honors that. It may not even be a fair tax, but he's looking to see if we will do the right thing. If we will be integrous in heart. Oh, yeah, you can cheat on your taxes, but you don't cheat with God. And God's not going to entrust you, are you hearing, the greater riches of the kingdom until you prove to be faithful in the natural. That has to do with everything, folks, that we do. We should be the most integrous people on the planet. When people say, man, you know, I want to hire Christians because they're honest, they're hardworking, they're on time, they're true to their word, they're loyal, they don't slander their bosses. Unfortunately, or their co-workers, brother, yeah. Unfortunately, I've actually heard people say, I won't hire Christians. Because a lot of them have this attitude, well, I'm just waiting for the rapture. Punch my clock, do my time, skim by possibly, you know. Because I'm waiting for the rapture to get out of here. I'm going to leave the Antichrist with the bill. Pull out the plastic and burn it up. And then we say, God, get me out of this debt. God says, if you would learn to rule your spirit and to listen to my voice, you wouldn't have been in that place in the first place. Amen? And I want to just interject something, folks. We need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Amen. We need to pray about that situation. But you know, when I was putting this together, this thought came to me. If Abraham hadn't given in and allowed himself, amen, to get to a place that where he was so impatient that he tried to make happen what God said he would do. Do you think that right now those rockets would be flying over there? How many know that those are the sons of Esau that are fighting? It's Isaac and Ishmael going at it, folks. You see, what happened first was Abraham had an Ishmael. Amen? But God has a bride. God has his people. Ishmael was the result of man, but Isaac was a miracle baby. Isaac was supernaturally conceived. Do you understand that? When you're 99 and 100 years old, that's supernatural. He's a miracle baby. And he brought great joy to them when he came. If we're not faithful in the job or at home or in taking care of our family, then we're actually denying the faith. Am I speaking the truth today? Yes. And we're presenting a poor testimony to the word, to the world. Jesus said in Luke 19:17, "Well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little." He doesn't put a hard... How many know he's not a hard taskmaster? His way is his yoke is easy, his burden's light. God's way is good. Because you've been faithful in a very little, have what? Authority over 10 cities. Do you see the natural and the greater picture, right? Because sometimes people assume that because God wants to use them spiritually, that the natural things are no longer important. That's deception. That is not God's order. God created this earth. God created the natural things. Amen? He put it here for a reason. And in this place, this is the proving ground. This is preparation place for us, for reigning. There are those who will reign with Christ and those who will not. There are those who have learned to rule their spirit and to submit themselves to God and to follow Jesus, who will reign one day with him. And in doing so, that means they will suffer persecution. They will suffer rejection. There will be people that are not going to like you, people that are not going to speak well of you because you're a follower of Jesus. However, those who suffer with him will reign with him. But those who deny him, God will also deny. So there's the options. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're in it all the way. There's no bridge to go back over. It's been burned out. Amen. We're in this all the way. We're going with Jesus. And by the grace of God, we will overcome. Not by our human effort, not by sheer willpower, but by the power of God, we will overcome. That's why we must seek the Lord. That's why we must take advantage of the open heaven that we have to come into the throne of grace, to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because He is your victory. He is your victor. And when Christ is reigning in you, you will reign over your flesh. You will reign over the territory that God gives you. You will reign in your home. Father, we thank you for your word today. God, do what you got to do with us, Lord. We want to live out our destiny, Lord. We want to fulfill it. We want to live for you, God. We want to submit ourselves to you daily, Lord. We want to learn how to take up our cross daily and follow you, Jesus. Help us, Lord. We don't have much strength. You are our strength, Lord. We're trusting in you. Hallelujah. The first step is submission. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. He will lift you up. And when God exalts you, no man can take that from you. See, Joseph's brothers thought they were going to snuff out the promise. But God had other plans. But it was through difficulties. It was through suffering. It was through many trials that Joseph entered into the position, you know, of number two in the land. God exalted him. And Joseph is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ, who himself submitted himself fully to the Father's will. Amen. Even the death of the cross, and now he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And from thence he is coming to judge the quick and the dead. He is coming again, this time not to be spat on, but this time to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is coming. People, get ready. Wake up. As it was in the days of Noah, so it is also now today in these days. People are mocking. People are making fun of. People are not believing the word of God. But I believe the word of God. And God says, get ready. He said, watch and pray always that you be counted worthy to escape all the things that are coming upon the earth and to stand before the Son of Man. Get your house in order. Make sure you know that you've got the authority here. Your body is not to tell you what to do. You are to tell your body what to do. Your body is the servant of the Lord. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are to keep your body pure for Him. You are the bride of Christ. You are a spouse to Him. You are not to have any other lovers. We, you and I, are to give ourselves fully to Him as we anticipate the coming of our bridegroom, Jesus Christ. He's coming for those who are looking for Him. He's coming for those who are looking up. Lord, help us to be ready in the day and the hour when you come, Jesus. We pray for your grace. We pray for your help. Hallelujah. Would you just lift your hands to the Lord and say, God, I need your grace. God, I need your help. Lord, forgive me for sloppy living. Grant me the grace I need to take control of myself, to bring my body under subjection, and to submit to your will. I pray, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.